Good morning. Try it again. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. My name is Eric Vail and I'm a member of the worship team here at GPC. I wanted to wish a warm welcome to everybody here this morning, and especially to our fathers that are worshiping with us today and those that aren't. A happy Father's Day to all of the fathers who are certainly important in all our lives. Whether you've been here many times before or this is your first time worshiping with us, we welcome you. You'll find that GPC is a very worshiping and welcoming community. And a few ways to learn about more about GPC is to check the ways we are churched together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a list of announcements and a calendar in it, so please take a look at that. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask somebody around you, or Barbara Chapman, our elder, will be at the communion table after worship today to receive your comments and your questions. During the offering, please take a moment to pass along the hospitality register. Sign your name, if you would, and then pass it back so everybody around you can see who you are. And if you don't know somebody next to you, just introduce yourself. Also, following worship today, down in the fellowship hall, because we thought the air conditioning was going to be working, we're going to have coffee and punch, but the air conditioning isn't working right at the minute, but we'll still have coffee and punch in the fellowship hall today. We do have a few announcements this morning, so Tom, you're up.
Well, this is it, folks. We're in the home stretch. We've got our Guatemalan visitors coming on Wednesday night. So a reminder, Wednesday at 5:40 p.m., they're coming in on Southwest Airlines. If you can come and join us, we'd like to have a couple lines at the opening gate to receive them and give them a warm welcome from Gates Presbyterian Church. We also have the big picnic on Saturday, the 25th. It's this Saturday, and we're still looking for a lot of food and help setting it up and cleaning it up. And it's at Churchville Park, 12 to 4, and we'll be out there earlier, of course, to set up. So if you can help with that, see me. We're going to have a brief meeting after church for the people on the committee or anybody that still wants to participate. Come and join us. We'll probably be in the adult lounge. I also have a 4-page itinerary of what we'll be doing for the 5 days that we're in Rochester, New York. And you're welcome to come and join us on this. At any of these trips that we have, I'll post it on the kiosk. But we're going to be going to different places every day, and you're welcome to join us. I've got a 12-seat van that I've rented, and there's room for extra people. Still looking for people that might be willing to host a guest overnight or for a couple nights or for the 5 days they're here, especially if you live in this area and can do that. Not much involved. They'll be just there for nighttime and then breakfast in the morning, and we're on the way and gone all day. So any questions, see me, or if you want to participate, let me know. Thanks.
Good morning. Out in the narthex, there's a new big blue bulletin board, and it's titled Work Project Bound. And it's a board for our youth to post their willingness to do jobs at your home to earn money for the work project. And then there's also a form that you could post for jobs that you have that the kids can pull your phone number and then contact you. So it's just a way, hopefully, that we can get direct connections between you and the youth to do some odd jobs between now and the 1st of August. So there's blank forms for you to fill out in the church office, or you can just run me down and I can help you do that as well. Thanks.
Anybody else have any announcements? Or speak now or forever. For many of us here today, our guest preacher needs no introduction. The Reverend Bob Kaiser, honorably retired, pastor emeritus, was pastor here at GPC for many years. And I asked Bob this morning, do you remember what year you started at GPC? He goes, of course I do. It was 1976. So that was probably before some folks here today were even born. But for many years, Bob did lead our spiritual and our worshiping community. And for all of us that know Bob, I'm sure he's touched us in many special ways. For me personally, Bob married my wife Mary and I nearly 38 years ago right here in this sanctuary. So I know Bob has touched many people in many ways. For some others of you, maybe Bob has baptized your children or sat at the hospital with you or led a memorial service for a loved one. But we are very glad to have you here today, Bob, worshiping with us and leading worship. Now let us prepare our minds, our hearts, and our soul as we worship our God together.
Together. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, whose love quenches our thirst. Let us praise God who is with us always.
We seek the one who will not desert us.
Let us open our hearts to God who calls us by name.
Please join me in the prayer of confession that you see printed in your bulletin. O God, of all times and places, speak to us now in the quietness of this holy place and open our hearts to hear your voice. We confess we do not always treat others fairly. We believe in selfish ways and our relationships suffer. Help us to overcome our faults and move in new directions. Thanks be to God, who loves and cares for each one of us. Amen. Let us now silently pray to God and ask for our forgiveness. Amen.
Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are given new life. Amen. I think the boys and girls can come forward now. Chocolate face, huh? So I have to ask you a couple questions. Do you know what this is? And do you have one? Do you have one? Good. This is very important. There are three things about a library card I want you to remember. Anyone can get a library card, right? Small people, old people, people of different colors, people from different parts of the world. Everyone is welcome to go to the library. And when you go to the library, you get lots of opportunities to read books, right? You can read about maybe Curious George, if you're that age. Or what do you like to read? Any book special? Okay, and you can also go and use the computer. But you can do all of these things that are really wonderful. And the last thing about a library card, can you think about it? Yes. You have to be able to spell your full name. That's absolutely right. Yes. Anything else? Let me ask you this. How much does this cost? Did you have to pay $5 for it? Okay. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And I want to show you, that's a little bit like God's love. And it's very important to remember this. First of all, God's love is for everyone. God doesn't care whether you're short or tall, whether you're black or white or anything else. God just loves everybody. And just like a library card, God's love is for every single person in the world. That's the first thing. The second thing is if you like God's love, then a lot of good things are going to happen to you. You'll be able to help people. Try not to have bullies take advantage of other people. There's lots of good things you can do when you have God's love in your heart. So that's the second thing. And here's the most important thing. How much do you have to pay for God's love? Nothing. That's absolutely right. You don't have to get out your wallet. You don't have to do anything. God's love is just there for you. So I hope that you can remember these three things. Like with a library card, it's for everybody. There are all kinds of good things will happen when you let God's love into your heart. And most of all, it doesn't cost you anything. God is just there. So that's good. I'd like to stand and say a word of prayer together and hold hands, and you'll say some words after me, okay? I get up. Would you hold my hand? And I'll say something, and then you say it, okay? Want to hold hands? No? Okay. Oh, God, we're very thankful for this day and the chance to be here. We're thankful for God's love, and help us to love one another. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Amen. Our first reading of the Word this morning comes from Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While people say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted me within me? Hope in God, for I again shall praise him, my help and my God.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. It's a series of short parables that Jesus used to teach. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and make nests in it. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all things in parables. Without a parable, he taught them nothing. This was to fulfill what the prophet had spoken. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, may we hear this word not as something old, but something new. May the parables speak to us as they spoke to Jesus' first listeners, that we might find a way to go in this coming week as your people, we ask. And may our thoughts and words always find acceptance in your sight, we humbly ask. Amen. I think that we all could agree that one of the basic principles of being a Christian is to try to follow the living Christ each and every day of our lives. However, it seems to me in our generation, there's a great deal of confusion and even depression as to what that really means. Are we supposed to be all wrapped up in the church? Good idea. Are we supposed to be down at the soup kitchen? Good idea, too. Are we supposed to work on spiritual development? Good idea, too. What adds to this confusion is that we don't live anymore in a religious world. If you would go to the soccer fields today, you would see what I mean by that phrase. And mainline churches are changing rapidly, as we all know, too. So what are we supposed to do as people going forth in June of 2016? Lots of questions. I think we want to ask, what would Jesus really be saying to us on June 19th, as we begin another week? What does he want us to do just in the next 7 days? We look back in Scripture, and you know Jesus was always going along looking out the fields and the woods and everything, and he would find these illustrations about what people were doing. And one that is really intriguing to me is one about yeast. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed with half a hundredweight of flour till it was all leavened. Now, I hope I won't insult you by saying a great many of us don't even know what that's about. If we want a bread, we don't go to weigh a hundredweight. We just go over to the store and get bread. And if we want yeast for a cake, we go into the closet and we pull out a little packet of yeast. So we have to look at these things very carefully to see what Jesus meant. Actually, the word yeast is mentioned 80 times in the Bible. Most of it in a negative way as something that is going to spoil things. But there is a positive aspect, certainly in this particular phrase, where Jesus is suggesting that the small beginnings of his followers will have great results in the world. The small beginnings of his followers will have great results in the world. And I think that's exactly what Christians and the church in 2016 need to hear. We can do great things. In another parable, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Believe me, you only have to go home and read the morning newspaper to know that the harvest of God's love is desperately needed out there. And that, I think, is the challenge that we have this day. That Jesus is saying to us, your job, my job, is to really take this yeast and be out in the world. Now, if he were preaching today or talking today, I think he might not use yeast, knowing that most of us don't understand what that's all about. But he might follow up on this story. One time a social worker was coming into a home, and she could not get this home clean. It was just slovenly. The dust was thrown all over the place. So one time in desperation, she went to the garden factory, and she got a beautiful plant, and she put it on the living room table and left. When she came back in 2 weeks, she couldn't believe what had happened to that house. The people looked at the table and the flower, and they said, boy, our living room looks a little dirty. So they cleaned up the living room. And then they realized that the living room was that clean, maybe we better do something with the dining room. And they went through the whole house and cleaned it up because of that plant. What I think is a plant, yeast, what Jesus is trying to say to us in a very significant way is that there are things we can do to make a difference and really be enriched by all that God is saying to us in this particular time. So we need to remember that. And I'm not naive enough to suggest that we can go out and change the whole world. I mean, it's Father's Day, and Eric alluded to that, but all of us as parents know that it's not an easy job to be a parent, and indeed you worry about your kids whether they're 40 or 4, and it's a tough assignment to do. But it seems to me we are to be the yeast. We are to make a difference in the world. And so that's the challenge, I think, that he's saying to us, that we have this challenge to go out into the world and try to make a little difference. But there's one big obstacle to that. When I say to you, go out and live out the great commandment to love God and love others, you know what I think a lot of people are thinking? What can one person do? Again and again, when I talk to people about trying to be people of peace and justice, the people again and again say or are thinking, well, my problems, Rochester's problems, the world problems, what can one individual really do to make a difference? I mean, I think that's part of the whole, I would call it, disaster of our political campaign right now, but that's a personal matter. But I mean, there's so much disrespect and anger in the world, and I think some of it comes from the frustration that people feel helpless. I mean, we're not happy with a lot in our political system. We don't seem to be able to do anything to make even a little improvement in gun control, for one thing. You know, it's just, so people are frustrated, and it's a very difficult time in that particular way. So what are we going to do? I appreciate, certainly, I could, about this feeling of helplessness, and you go out with one candle, and that's, what's that going to mean? One candle in a world of darkness where you've got Orlando, and you've got fires, and you get all this stuff. What is one candle going to do? And yet I think we still have to hang on to that great hope that we can do something and make a difference in this world. We have to continue to hope in that way and to try to do that in a very significant way. And maybe what we need to do is to go back to Pentecost. I'm sure that here at Gates last month, everybody was wearing red as a reminder of the Spirit of God and how it was touching people. And this is the part I don't think we always remember. There were less people following Jesus in the beginning than are gathered here today. Probably far less than are gathered here today. And they were very ordinary people. They couldn't get along with one another. The Jewish Christians didn't like the Gentile Christians. They lived in a secular Roman Empire that was trying to crush them. I mean, doesn't this all sound quite familiar to 2016? And this small band, just probably not any more than the people sitting back around the choir, this small band in 300 years swept across the Roman Empire and became the religion of the world. So when people say, well, we're small, we don't do this, we need to think back to what was said in those days and to really remember that and to have some hope that this. And what we need to do, especially as Presbyterians, we need to believe in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we always say, well, the Pentecostals do that, the Evangelicals do that. But we ought to, I mean, in our heritage, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we ought to be able to do something about that. When I go out to visit churches, and I visit a lot of them leading worship, mostly I hear about declining attendance and fiscal problems. Those are really very severe things. You have to take them seriously. But there ought to be more being said about mission and what we are supposed to be doing out in the world, living out the Great Commandment. And you, I think Gates has a lot of good things going on here. Tom Ward was mentioning the Guatemala group, the young people go to Jamaica. Lots of you go down to one of my favorite places, St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. So you have all these things, but I think we need to continue to build upon that. This sermon, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, it won't be the first time anyone's told me I'm wrong. But this sermon is based on the feeling that people are confused, maybe unsure themselves, and maybe even depressed about their calling. And they're not exactly sure in our kind of world what they're supposed to do in the name of Jesus Christ. They're pretty sure they have to make some money. They're pretty sure they have to raise their kids in some way. They're pretty sure they have to do something in retirement. But are we really convinced of what we are to do as followers of Jesus Christ? And somehow, I'd like to convince you that you can make a difference in this world in the next 7 days. As you, some of you might remember, I only deal with 7 days at a time. It's much too difficult to deal with anything more in this kind of world as a Christian. Just the next 7 days. Go forth and see what you can do. And now people aren't going to pat you on the back and say, oh, you're wonderful and all that. But I think you can make an impression on them. And you can change some family relationships by bringing in some love. And maybe, unrealistically, maybe you can change the workplace. And just maybe in a far-reaching dream, you could maybe change what's going on in Rochester or what's going on in the world or any other place. I mean, that's the great hope I think we have, that you can be a road sign. And if you know anything about our world, if you look at who the movie stars are and who the athletes are, they're the heroes of this day. But you don't want to really make them into models, do you? I mean, most of them? I mean, after all, there's some guys right now who won't sign a contract in football because they're only offered $15 million and they want $16 million. I mean, this is not the kind of thing we want to build upon. So you are to be the models for what is to be in our world in whatever little corner you have of that world. Some of you might remember Judd Decker. Judd taught at Roberts English, and he was a member of this church, and he lives in South Carolina, and he and I still correspond on email, and we have all these conversations about the world and about religion and theology, and it's quite easy to get depressed. And so Judd always reminds me of this story that you might have heard. One time, we both grew up on the Jersey Shore. One time on the Jersey Shore, there were hundreds of starfish all lying on the beach. And they were going to die if something didn't happen. So a little seven-year-old came along, and he started to pick up the starfish one at a time and throw them back. One here, all that. An adult came along, and in a typical adult fashion, said to the young boy, "You're wasting your time. You can't throw enough back to make any difference. You're futile. Stop doing it." And you know what the little boy said? "The ones I throw back will appreciate it." Now, hopefully that's a metaphor for what we can do in our world and in our time. We need to remember that. This is what God is asking us to be about this year, that we are to live out the great commandment. If you ever want to know the essence of the Christian faith, it is simply love God and love other people. And then you've got to put flesh on that, and that's not the easiest thing to do. But that's what we're challenged to do. Symbolically, we're to be that beautiful flower planted, put on a table in some place of need. Or we're to be that little boy throwing the starfish back. And we are to be people of peace and justice. So as you go forth from here, I hope you'll be thinking of this. We can't save the world, but we could be the yeast that ushers in the kingdom of God. We say to ourselves, well, it couldn't happen. And God's Spirit says, maybe it can. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we give great thanks for the chance to be called followers of Christ. Sometimes we're bewildered and we're unsure of where to go. But in a world of great need, we pray that you'll inspire us, encourage us, and enable us to be people of love and peace and justice that care about one another and your whole creation. So send us forth for this week to be your messengers, the candle lit in the darkness that will shine brightly and touch other people's lives. We humbly ask in Christ's name. Amen.
This is the time that we bring our joys and our concerns. So if you would, please raise your hand. Let the ushers know that you have something to share. And if you would, please share your name so that we know who you are and can relate to that.
Fran Henderson, just an update on Dick. He's at the Unity Cottages behind Unity Hospital now. We asked for prayers for the sores on his feet, which do not go away. We're going to a new wound care specialist tomorrow, so hopefully we can get those cured and he can walk again. Thank you.
Whit Beckett, I have a concern and a couple of joys that go with it. I'm concerned for the love of my life, who took a spill last Sunday. She was out walking and landed on her head on the pavement, and she's got 11 stitches and a black eye and some sore ribs and so on, all of which seem to be healing well, thank God, but prayers are appreciated. And two joys. Joy number one is that somehow she managed to do that without a concussion or any damage to her brain. And joy number two, I was absolutely amazed at how many people from the neighborhood, people we don't know, Good Samaritans, were out there trying to help her out on the street.
Fran Peril, I'm asking prayers for Bob's mother, Minnie Kaiser. She's in comfort care. She's been residing at Unity Living Center on Genesee Street. This weekend she's in the hospital. Hopefully she'll be back there Monday. So, thank you.
Dennis White, please keep in prayer Debbie's and my daughter, Kelly, and our son-in-law, Matt. 8 months into her pregnancy, they lost their baby boy. Kelly asked me to pass this on to the congregation. Thank you.
Sue McAlaney, I ask for prayers for my sister Ruth, who's in Unity Hospital with a heart problem. Thank you.
Kate Stanford, I ask for prayers for a patient of mine who is a paranoid schizophrenic. He has stopped his meds about a month ago and is quickly decompensating. Last time he did this, he stood in a shower cleaning the toaster with it plugged in. So I'm very concerned about him. If you will keep him in your prayers, I'd appreciate it.
I think it was a great joy to have Bob Kaiser back up in the pulpit today, but even better than that is to see his family over here, and it's just like the good old days. Nice to see you folks. Thank you.
Kay Harder, I have one concern, one joy. Prayers for my mother, who is having some health issues in Oklahoma. Good thing she has 10 grandchildren and 4 daughters that can call her all the time. Gets her mind off of it. But prayers for her, please. And a joy for John and me as we travel starting on Thursday, going to Bar Harbor to see our son, Jeff, and Candace. And prayers for my daughter and her family as they go from New York City to Bar Harbor with 2 children, 4.5 and 2.5. And the joy is having us all together in one place other than New York City. So thank you.
I had a couple personal things. I'm happy to have our family here. All 4 kids are in town, and half of them are here, and we're all joined together. 16 of us with grandkids from 25 to 2. So we're pleased to be there. They all wanted you to know that they're not here for the sermon. They've heard enough of those. They're here for Father's Day, so. And a very good friend of mine, Zane Bollinger, who was pastor of Penfield for a long time, died, and we want to remember his family and loved ones. We certainly need to think about Orlando and some of the issues going on in our world that we need to deal with. So, anything else? Let us be in prayer together. Gracious God, we come with joy for families that are gathered together. And those who are traveling, bring to them safely to their destination and back home. Be with each of us. And we always remember, O God, that not all families are together. Not all families are happy places. So we pray for those going through difficult times, the loss of a loved one, a difficult relationship in their own personal lives. Be with them and take care of them. Hear the prayers of people for loved ones that are struggling with health issues. And may they be surrounded with love and support and phone calls. And give to all of those on the front line a great strength, O God. We don't have easy answers, but we do believe that you can give strength and comfort in all situations. And we certainly pray, O God, for our world. May we find peaceful ways to express our differences. May we find peaceful ways to live together. May we find peaceful ways to help those who are now on the outside and looking in. We offer all of these, O God, and now hear our silent prayers of those things most upon our hearts this day. Give action to our words, O God, that we might live out all our prayers in the coming week. And hear us as we share the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Living God, through Christ, you call us to walk in your ways. We offer our gifts as seeds to be used to share and spread the good news in God's love. We renew our commitment to serve you gladly and to love one another as you first loved us. Amen.
All through the thinking about this sermon, there's a little camp spiritual that was going through my mind. You probably all know it, this little light of mine. And so we're going to be singing that. We'll sing the chorus twice, and then we're going to read the verse and then go back to the chorus, okay? Hopefully we'll sing it like real Presbyterians.
Thank you.
light shines in the light of love, hides the darkness from above, shines on me, and it shines on you, shows you what the power of love can do. Shine my light, both bright and clear. Shine my light, both near and near. In every corner that I find, let my little light shine. Monday gave me the gift of love. Tuesday, peace came from above. Wednesday told me to have more faith. Thursday gave me a little more grace. Friday told me to watch and pray. Saturday told me just what to say. Sunday gave me the power divine to light that little light of mine. Now let us go forth to be the people of God, people of love and peace and justice. And may God always be with you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.